Do you believe that the modern world is overly repressed when it comes to matters of sexuality? Are we humans free to indulge in our desires? Should we take into consideration the natural purpose and consequences of sexual indulgence? I'd like to draw your attention to an interesting comparison. Even a common household cat exhibits more sexual self-control than many humans. A cat experiences 2 heat cycles each year, approximately 1 week each, amounting to just 2 weeks annually when they are focused on mating. Remarkably, we seldom witness cats engaging in acts of self-stimulation. Furthermore, instances of deviant sexual behaviors in animals are primarily observed in captive environments. In general, animals demonstrate a higher degree of self-discipline in this regard than we do. If we go back in history, we can discern that our ancestors also held themselves to a significantly higher standard of sexual self-control. Buddha, for example, referred to celibacy as the middle path. During his time, there were 2 extremes prevalent: hedonism and masochism. For saints and sages who lived centuries or even millennia ago, celibacy was viewed as a perfectly natural state of being. I want to clarify that embracing celibacy does not entail self-torture, nor does it signify a departure from the natural order of procreation. It is a matter of balance and self-control, much like the middle path advocated by Buddha. In the modern world, explaining the virtues of chastity to people can be likened to attempting to deny candy to a child. However, I believe that through open and respectful dialogue, we can encourage a healthier and more mindful approach to our natural desires. I want you to understand that as you embark on this journey of self-discipline, there will be voices of dissent, screams of frustration, and attempts to find any excuse to deviate from the path you have chosen. It's essential that you remind yourself that what you desire and what truly brings you lasting happiness are often distinct. In fact, a life devoid of discipline teeters on the brink of meaninglessness. History has shown us that anyone who achieves true success in life keeps their long-term goals firmly in mind and resists the allure of fleeting pleasures. A truly advanced society recognizes the importance of what some may call repression of sinful impulses and instead encourages the transformation of base desires into intellectual pursuits. We create artificial, non-natural constructs such as homes, clothing, and books, but we also discipline ourselves to use these creations for their intended purposes, or not at all. Medicine, for instance, is employed to heal, not to induce euphoria. We engage in sexual intimacy when we seek to expand our families, not solely for entertainment or amusement. We play games for their educational value, rather than for the perilous allure of gambling. In our culture, the concept of repression, often misunderstood as suppression, has been burdened with negative connotations. Yet when we consider its real-life benefits, we have the opportunity to restore it as a positive force. In my personal journey, I've discovered that embracing discipline has led to a newfound enjoyment of life, richer and more fulfilling than ever before. Have you ever wondered why humanity often seeks pleasure through sensory stimulation? As we dive into the profound teachings of spirituality and the disciplined path of spiritual living, we gradually uncover a profound truth. The soul, which is considered the microcosm of the divine, inherently possesses a state of pure bliss. Here, bliss transcends the duality of happiness and sadness. It is a unipolar state beyond the fluctuations of polarity. This unipolar state represents absolute freedom and self-standing existence, and it is the innate nature of the soul. Every living being, whether human or animal, harbors within its essence this reservoir of bliss, contentment, and self-sufficiency. The soul exists in a state of bliss, independent of any external factors or influences. It thrives in this elevated state without needing any external aids to sustain it or confine it to this exalted realm. The teachings of great masters elucidate that when the soul descends into the material realm and becomes entwined with a physical body, layers of ignorance, known as Maya or Avidya, start to envelop the soul. These coverings act as a barrier, obstructing the soul's inherent light and nobility from radiating freely, much like clouds obscuring the sun's rays. As this process unfolds, humans, who at their core are beings of bliss, for they are, in truth, souls rather than mere bodies, minds, intellects, or egos, begin to experience a diminishing sense of this innate bliss. In response, they instinctively embark on a quest to find sources of bliss, driven by the absence of what they once knew. This pursuit can be likened to a thirsty traveler in a desert, tirelessly journeying in the hope of reaching a mirage resembling an oasis, a mirage that in reality is but an illusion. Sensual pleasure, derived externally through our senses, is not genuine pleasure at all. Instead, it's merely a fleeting stimulation of our nerves that ultimately leads to pain. After countless lifetimes of seeking pleasure through sensory indulgence, the human psyche begins to wrongly associate this nerve stimulation as the ultimate source of happiness. Slowly but surely, it forgets its innate state of soulful bliss. Many of us find ourselves in this state of delusion. Now imagine Brahmacharya as a vessel, a ship that can help us navigate this vast ocean of delusion and guide us to the shores of true soulful bliss. Through unwavering dedication and sincere practice of celibacy, we can gradually free ourselves from the entanglements of Maya, the illusion that has ensnared us. As we progress on this path and attain self-realization, shedding the identification with our physical bodies and embracing the understanding that we are souls, we enter a state of contentment within ourselves, by ourselves. In this state, we require no external dependencies like friends, parties, or idle chatter for contentment. We have come to recognize the transitory and superficial nature of all external pleasures and the profound glory within our inner selves and the divine. It's natural for doubts to arise at the outset of this journey towards celibacy, discipline, and relinquishing sensuality. After all, our psyche has long considered the illusory pleasures as enjoyable. There come moments in our journey when we need to adopt a resolute and unwavering approach to carry us through challenges and keep us on the chosen path. Think about an Olympic sprinter aiming for victory. What does this athlete do? They set aside all distractions, all indulgences, all frivolities, and they pour their heart and soul into rigorous, disciplined training to prepare their mind and body for that defining moment. Similarly, the path of celibacy demands unwavering and honest efforts, especially in the early stages when the endeavor feels Herculean. But as time passes, our sincerity and the grace of the divine make the journey progressively smoother. With time, sincere efforts, and the grace of a higher power, the path becomes less arduous. After approximately a year of committed celibacy without any breaks, a transformative shift occurs. At this stage, one begins to treasure and yearn for an unbroken state of celibacy, relishing the burgeoning bliss that now flows. You no longer long for the old ways. Instead, the mere thought of returning to that state of delusion sends shivers down your spine. When lustful thoughts occasionally intrude upon the mind, the celibate experiences discomfort, repulsion, and a sense of guilt. All your energies become focused on dispelling these thoughts. Your sole desire is to free yourself from them and return to a state of celibacy in thought, word, and deed,